Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to today's quarterly All VR call. I would like to introduce to you myself. My name is Jocelyn Greenwich. I am the TPM Program Manager, and I want to welcome you all for today to the call today. I wanted to go over a few key staffing changes on the TPM program. That's why I'm greeting you all today. First of all, I wanted to let you guys know that we had a change in the ticket operations team leadership. Previously, the ticket operations manager, Janelle Bratcher, she is no longer with the program. She's moved on, and we have promoted our previous EN payments manager, Kimberly Cutler. She will now serve as the ticket operations manager. You are all majority had a chance to talk to Kimberly in the past. She will now oversee the whole ticket operations department, which includes the EN payments and the BR payments manager as well. We also had another additional staffing change. We have Keitra Hill, who previously served on the ticket, the TPM program in a variety of roles, but she comes to us after recently having a stint in the EN training and development and will now serve as the VR payment manager. So we want to welcome Keitra here in her new role as the VR payment manager. And I wanted to turn the next couple minutes over to Keitra so she can introduce herself to you and give her a little background as she serves as the new VR payment manager. Keitra?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you again for joining today's quarterly All VR call. As Jocelyn mentioned, I am currently the VR payments manager. A lot of you do know me, you know, from working with me when I was an account manager myself in EN development to when I was the manager. And then now I'm in this role. So I'm looking forward to working with all of you in this capacity. So thank you again for joining today's call. Before we begin, we want to go over the agenda and some quick housekeeping items. So I'd like to review that with you next. So if we could go to the next slide. So here is our agenda. Again, Jocelyn, thank you for that welcome. I will be the moderator for today's call. So reviewing these housekeeping rules with you. And then we will hear from Katie Streibinger, Social Security Administration's Vocational Rehabilitation Branch Chief, to go over information about inactive portal users. As well as next, we'll hear from Raquel Donaldson, who's the Social Security Administration's Vocational Rehabilitation Team Senior Program Analyst. And she'll be going over some updates in regards to the fiscal year 2023 cost formula updates and then PID reminders. And then lastly, we'll have our Q&A session. So moving to the next slide to go over some housekeeping items. So can we move to the next slide to go over some quick housekeeping items? Thank you. So one thing to remember is please remain muted during this call unless you're called upon by the facilitator. Please feel free to ask any questions in the MS Teams chat section. If you are joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, we ask that you raise your hand utilizing star 5. You will be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll need to press star 6 to unmute yourself on your end. Next, please ask any questions. Ask questions each time you are called upon by the facilitator. Additional questions that are not covered during this call can be sent to the vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov, and those questions will be answered, some during the live event, and then those that are not answered at that time, again, after the event. One thing to note is that closed captioning is available for participants who are joining using the Microsoft Teams application or utilizing the separate closed caption link that's been provided in the chat. So to turn on the closed caption in Teams, go to the three ellipses at the top of the Microsoft Teams window and click on More Actions. Next, scroll down to the list to turn on live captions. When using the link options, paste the link in the browser and it will open in a separate window to view closed captions. Thank you in advance for your participation in today's call. So next, we will hear from Katie Streiminger in regards to the inactive portal users. Katie, over to you.
Thank you, Keetra, and welcome, Keetra, to the VR workload. We are really excited to have you with us. Give me 1 second, everyone. You don't want to stare at my office. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to talk about inactive portal users. This is something that we've been aware of and trying to work towards. I wanted to bring it up here on the call first so you could hear it from us first. SSA makes protecting its information systems a top priority. As you are all aware, the ticket portal uses the highest level of security available to the agency, and it allows VRs to safely and securely do business with SSA. Portal access, as it was designed, should be limited to individuals who have a specific business need and plan to access the application regularly. You know, the portal was intended to be something that, you know, a handful of specific users who needed to go in and perform business functions, you know, had access to. We have started to notice recently that there are a lot of inactive ticket portal users in our system. And we've started to question whether either the users are no longer with the agency or they had a need in the past and no longer have it. So we are doing an audit on our side of all the users we have for VR agencies in the portal. And starting May 1st, we're going to start removing portal access for users who have not accessed the portal in the last 180 days. If you are an active portal user, you should be accessing the application at least once every 90 days. So we felt that 6 months was a sufficient time to, you know, make sure that all the users who had appropriately using the system were in there. So if you're not sure of your status in the portal, if you don't remember the last time you logged into the portal, you need to take the following actions immediately. First of all, if you haven't been in the portal, you can't do this first step. But anyone you have actively in the portal should go in and verify the portal users for your organization. You would probably want to assign one POC for this. There is towards the bottom on the main menu, there is a view directory information about your EN or SVR link. If you go in there and that pops open, you will see all the users we have marked as portal users for your agency. You should go through that and make sure that anyone, you know, who is listed as a portal user who still needs that access goes and logs in. And if they try and they're suspended, they need to access, contact the VR help desk so we can reactivate them. If there are employees, you know, that you know do not need to be in the portal and you see them listed, please also contact us and we'll just go in and remove them without having to do that big cleanup. So together, right, you know, your agency and us will make sure that we have an appropriate list when we're all done. This information I just kind of went through is we're going to send it out in a blast this week so you can read it. You know, if you need an extension, if you need more time, if you're still working through the list of employees, please, once again, you know, I'm going to refer to the email. Reach back out to the VR help desk. This is what we're here for, is to work with you to clean this all up. As a reminder, you know, you should contact the VR help desk if you have any change in key personnel so that we can update our system. If someone has left the agency, but they still had at one point had access or were marked as a key personnel in our system, please make sure you're letting us know that they're no longer with your agency. We need to make sure that we protect our system and that someone who has left your agency can't call the help desk and ask for their, you know, portal access to be reinstated when they have no business being in the ticket portal. So right now, after 90 days of inactivity, this is automatic, the portal will suspend you. So we're taking the further step in 180 days. So 6 months total, if you have not accessed the portal, we will remove you. If you do find out after that time that, you know, you go to log in and you can't get in, you're going to have to do is contact the VR help desk and we will re-enroll you in the portal. So please don't fear that, you know, that you're out of the portal forever, but we are going to have to work through a process to make sure that only appropriate users are in the system. I'll be on the end of the call if anybody has any questions, but like I said, you know, this will come out in a blast and an email and, you know, work, the VR help desk will be here to work with you through any questions you have and making sure together that we have the right personnel in the portal. All right, Keetra, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Katie. So next we will hear from Raphael Donaldson regarding the fiscal year cost formula, as well as an update on the PID. Raquel, please go ahead.
Thank you, Keitra. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have two quick announcements. The first is in regards to fiscal year 23 cost formula. We have one, so we think. Right now, we have a select few VRs that are actually testing the new cost formula. They have been meeting, which has been absolutely awesome. We appreciate everyone who is currently assisting us with this, giving feedback in regards to if the cost formula is actually working. Seven total. So once they all complete the cost formula for fiscal year 23 and they submit it and we've met again, then hopefully we'll get that great let's go with this, and then we'll be reaching out to all of the VRs. Again, there will be a question and answer session at that time, just to make sure everyone is understanding the instructions for the fiscal year 23 cost formula. So right now, I'm just saying there is light that you do see, I see, at the end of the tunnel in regards to the fiscal year 23 cost formula. I just want to remind every VR, you do not need to hold on to your claims. You should be submitting them just like you would any other claim, even if it has to do with fiscal year 23. We do not want you to hold on to it. If the technician reviews it and sees that it will need the fiscal year 23 data, that's fine. Then we just place it in diary and then it becomes our responsibility once your cost formula has been submitted to get the claim process. But please, please, please do not hold on to any of your claims and then later on request, untimely waiver, something like that. Because we've been saying from beginning, do not hold on to any of it. Eugene, you're right. We should have a party when it's all done. Second announcement is just a reminder, when you are submitting emails to the VR help desk, I believe Cognosante has requested in the very beginning that you include your PID. The PID, which again is the same as your DUNS number. And this helps all of us who are involved with the VR help desk to look up your information. The more you submit, the better. If you know social security numbers and the beneficiary's name, date of birth, whatever information you have, the better for us. It makes it things much quicker for us to investigate what you're looking for and get back to you, give you responses. You all know that who've worked with me that I'm big on customer service and turnaround time. So it's just going to help the entire VR help desk team, the more information that you all provide to them. Believe it or not, that is absolutely all that I had for this call. So I'm going to turn it back over to Keitra. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Raquel, for those updates. So now we're going to transition into our Q&A period. So as a reminder, to ask your question over the phone, please raise your hand on Teams by dialing *5. And if you're called upon, you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll need to press *6 to unmute yourself. So for participants that are using the Teams app, you can, again, enter your questions into the chat window and raise your hand. Those questions will, of course, be read aloud and responded to by either Katie or Raquel. So, Catherine, if you could, let's go to the raised hands at this time.
Hi, Keitra. We don't have anyone at this time with their hands raised.
Okay.
I just saw one. we have Eugenia Cox. Eugenia, I'm going to give you access as well as everyone else to their video and audio when you ask a question. You'll just need to turn your audio and your video on, and you can ask your question, Eugenia.
Hello. I want to thank Raquel for updating all the directories. Information. She has been a trooper through that whole thing. Two quick question. And I think I brought this up. I actually haven't brought it up at all, but When we go in and get a diary on an individual, and you know, I look at all the claims that have come through for that one individual person. But when we get a diary request for a justification, and we don't know, we are assuming that the claim is going to be paid. But I have noticed that some diary requests have been in there when they're going to just be denied. Do they look at the claims first to see before they request us to do a justification or a I know a PVR has already been determined, but do the technicians look to see if that claim is just going to be denied? Because that's a lot of work for us to do when they're just going to be denied.
Hi, Eugene, it's Raquel. That's a great question, and it's one that we have pointed out to the technicians because, yes, they are supposed to actually try to process the claim to the very end. And then once they get to the very end, it's something called the payment screen. It should show them there, 9 times out of 10, it should show them whether or not this is something that's going to be paid or if it's going to end up being a 610 denial. So this is basically just a matter of the technician paying more attention to what's going on. And thank you for bringing this up because we've had meetings since then. I saw your email before in regards to this. And if there's anyone else, any other VR that runs into that situation, what Eugenia is saying is if other claims have been receiving 950, I think that's it. If other claims have received for the same beneficiary 950 approvals, then 9 times out of 10, that next claim is going to be a 610 because that means we've exhausted the funds for that beneficiary. So that's a red flag right there. If you see something like that, please send an email like Eugenia did to the VR help desk to say, hey, I've noticed you've requested information from us. However, the last claim for this beneficiary was paid 950. So that 950 approval is really important for and a red flag for you all to say, hold on. I shouldn't be doing all this work. Let me go back and let me ask the VR help desk to research it before I do anything. And that's not a problem. Again, it's a teaching moment for us as well. So please do not, you know, feel like you're ratting someone out because guess what? You're saving us work and yourself a whole lot of work. So we appreciate it if you let us know, because again, we can just go back and talk to the technicians and point out, you know, what they're doing wrong in regards to processing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eugenia. Right. If you have any questions, if you'll please press *5 if you're on the phone or raise your hand if you're on Teams and we'll call on you. Keitra, we don't have anyone with their hands raised at this time if you'd like to go to the chat.
Yeah, I do see, I believe there was a question a bit earlier. Imani, did you see a question in the chat earlier that I may have missed? If you could read that aloud.
Yes, Raquel, she just answered Eugenia's question that was in the chat. And then we have another one from Donna. She asks, should the PID be in the subject line?
Hi, Donna. Honestly, it doesn't matter where you put it. I do notice some VRs put it in the subject line, but as long as it's somewhere in the subject line or the body of the email, just letting the help desk analyst know your PID, that's perfect. Of course, we know we can't put SSNs in the subject line, but a PID, yeah, that would be great.
And that was all the questions in the chat.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, you're on the phones, please press *5 to raise your hand. If you're on Teams, you'll go to the React icon at the top and just click raise hand or raise the, it's next to the React icon, click raise your hand. We'll call on you to ask a question. And we have Eugenia Cox. The question. Just one moment, please, ma'am. Eugenia, you are ready to go. You'll turn your video and audio on.
Oh, I put it in the chat. I wanted to find out, is there any word on when the timely progress reviews are going to start again? I've been letting people know that they will start someday, and we want to make sure that we get training out and have people be prepared when these things will start.
Hi, Eugenia. I have the same answer. We will give you, you know, so much notice before SSA is even about to start doing anything TPR related. We will give everyone advance notice so you have plenty of time to prepare. But everyone, you know, should be working like we could start them any moment, right? But at this point, I don't have anything in the imminent future.
Okay. Thank you.
We have two more, Keitra, with their hands raised. We have Daniel up. Daniel, you are now moved up to a presenter if you want to turn your audio and video on.
Right. Hi, I'm Daniel Up with Wisconsin. I'm really new to this position. And I was wondering if there's any training or websites that you could point me to as a newbie starting out. We kind of only have one contact at our agency, and I took the position because the previous one left, so I'm kind of in the dark about a lot of stuff and what's going on.
Hi, Daniel, it's Raquel. Unfortunately, right now, we don't have any type of training. However, what I can do for you and what I've done for newbies in the past is I can email you the PowerPoint presentation that we used to use when we did do training. Once you read over that, if you have any questions, we can do a one-on-one and connect. Also, the state VR directory, this is one of the reasons why I update the state VR directory, because all the SSA coordinators on there, those are your resources. Those are people that you can go to, reach out to them. They have been awesome in the past helping out newbies in regards to questions, because they're on a side that I'm not on. So they see things in the portal that you may have questions or thoughts on that I can't answer. There's things that you all do on your side that we know nothing about, even the VR help desk. So I always highly, highly recommend that you reach out to your counterparts at the other state VR agencies. And I will be sending out the updated directory to you all, hopefully by tomorrow. And if there's anyone that has not submitted to me the any updated information, it's a little bit late. But when you get the new updated version, if you still see something in there that needs to be changed, I'd still be more than happy to go in and change that information for you.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Daniel. Welcome.
Also, good afternoon. This is Shada Roper. Along with the PowerPoint, the handbook also should be sent. Katie and I are obviously still working on several updates to the handbook, so we follow the laws and policies. So for all those that are new, they need to be able to access the handbook. So we also have an updated version of the handbook with information that has been updated from COVID. That goes along with the PowerPoint. Also, for the newbies, Katie and I are working on training, but because I am the training person, I can always give you one-on-one going through the PowerPoint, but we'd have to schedule and set up a time and some point where I would be able to go through that with you. And yes, Sarah, I will send you whatever we've had from since the information has changed with COVID. Once again, sorry, Rod Stewart is Rod Stewart. Not as good as him, but it seems I've somehow accepted to be his singing partner.
Thank you, Shada. We have another individual with that has a question, Donna Osborne. Donna, you are now a presenter if you want to turn your audio and video on and ask your question.
Sorry, took me a little while to figure that out. I just wanted to kind of let you know what I'm seeing and ask, do we know why this is happening? I'm getting, like, on one claim, I've gotten three different diary letters on the same claim with just different dates on them, but basically saying the same thing. And I've done that, had that happen on more than one claim that I've submitted. Just wondering what might be happening. Just want to let you know that that was happening.
Hey, Donna, it's Raquel. Can you send that to me at the VR help desk? The only thing I can think of is if someone has extended your diary for whatever reason, then every time they extend it, that may be the reason that a new diary will go out for you. Yeah. Other than that, I can't think of why you should be receiving a new diary.
Yeah, I'll send them to you.
For the same. Yeah, let me know so I can look into that for you. Sure. And thanks, Donna. And I'm actually reading some comments from the chat. If there's anyone who is requesting a copy of the training and the handbook, can you please email the VR help desk? Because I don't want to miss anyone in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Raquel. We have Kimberly Valray. Kimberly, you are now our presenter if you want to turn your audio and video on and ask your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm also, like the gentleman before said he was new. I live here in Arizona. I do the claims for the state of Arizona. And my question also to Raquel, if she could also send me over some information or anybody have information that will help. I've been doing it as temp for a year, so I would like to get some information if that's possible. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kimberly.
Yes, Kim, that's no problem. Again, if anyone needs any type of information like that, like we were saying, the PowerPoint or the VR handbook, just email the VR help desk and we will definitely make sure you get that, as well as the updated copy of the state VR directory.
Okay, thank you. I do have one more question.
Sure.
I don't know if this is the right platform because, like I said, I'm new. Dealing with versers, can you talk anything about the verser claims?
What's your specific question about verser?
Well,
what it is?
Yeah, I know. Well, I know they're not like the regular claims where we, do the wages and everything, but it's kind of hard when you send over the versers. You know, a lot of them are getting denied and, you know, we don't really have that much control over that. Is there any way that we could kind of maybe get more information with the verses, because majority of them are being, you know, denied, disallowed due to, I guess they're different than the regular ones. So I'm not that, you know, familiar with the verses, although I do them, but, you know, how can we catch it so we can get, you know, paid for those verses? Or is there any other way we could work those?
No, there's not. So actually, there's no guarantee, honestly, with any type of claim that you're doing, whether you're doing verser or whether you're using earnings information that you have information mm-hmm. on that you submit to us. Yeah. Verser, that's something that we stress, is verser is no guarantee that the claim will be paid. Verser is just letting the VR and SSA know that there are at least 3 out of 4 quarters of earnings at or above non-blind SGA, or if the beneficiary is blind, then blind SGA. That is all it's telling us. With Social Security, we have access to monthly earnings. That is information that, for the most part, most VRs do not have. Very rarely will I see one or two VRs that may have monthly information. The first thing that we are looking for is 9 out of 12 months of earnings. That is the first thing that the technicians and the analysts are looking for on our end. And Versa may say to you, hey, Kim, I see that you have 3 out of 4 quarters for this beneficiary. 3 out of 4 quarters does not guarantee that there's 9 out of 12 months of earnings. So again, Versa is a tool that's used to submit earnings, to submit claims, but there's no guarantee with that that the claim is going to be paid just using Versa.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Raquel. We have Eugenia Cox who has a question. Eugenia, you're our presenter. You want to activate your audio and video and ask your question?
Hello again. I wanted to ask, we're starting to use the work number a little bit more, and we're actually using a batch format of the work number or the Equifax batched information. When we submit a claim using the work number, would we in the comment section put the work number data, and then do we print out a fax cover and send that? It would be more of like, because the Equifax information, wage information, is more real time. Is that something you accept? And do you want us to fax that as additional wage information, or how would you like us to do that?
Yes, we definitely accept work number information as verified. So you can send that like you do anything else, any type of other document that you're submitting, with the claim. So you would fax it in and include it, and definitely put a comment in the remarks box that you're submitting that information.
Okay, so just put like wage information will be faxed or something on the
comment. Exactly. Okay. And just not just for you, Eugenia, but for everyone, when you are faxing in wage information after you upload a claim, keep in mind that if the technician sees the claim there, they're going to process it unless you put in the notes at that time that you're sending something else over. And even when you do that, you have limited time to do it. If you're faxing something, if you upload the claims Monday, we're expecting you to turn around and upload the backup information as well, the earnings information, whatever your wages, your work employment, any of that needs to go as well. Otherwise, if you notice, the turnaround time for the technicians and analysts to review the claims has been much, 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 much quicker than in the past, where you may have had extra time. But right now we're saying do not submit a claim if you know it's going to take you a few days to gather up the earnings information as well.
Okay.
Wait till you have everything.
Okay, and then one more question. When you go in, you have a diary and you go in to request the fax cover letter that goes with it. Sometimes I'll forget that I printed one and I'll print it again. And then it shows on there that I've printed 2 fax cover sheets. And then we send in the justification on one of them, and it's held because I think they're thinking we're sending in something else because we requested the fax twice, the fax cover sheet. Is that the case? Or I think we would only be sending one justification in or one PVR, but sometimes we print more than one fax cover sheet. So I'm not sure if the technicians know that it's the same, or you see where I'm going with this?
No. Katie, do you have an answer for that? Because I thought that you should be able to print more than one fax cover sheet and it all goes through, correct or no?
Yeah, once it's faxed in, it automatically attaches to the work case. So, right, if you make one fax cover sheet but then you don't use it, the technician should only see the one you actually faxed in.
Yeah, and it does show that you've printed off 2 cover sheets. So it kind of logs it every time you print one. And I didn't know if they thought we were sending in more than one, because I've seen it just sit there for a while. And even though it shows we faxed, you know, it does show on there that we faxed and when. But there's also another fax cover sheet that we didn't use that's sitting there blank. So I didn't know if they thought there was 2 things coming in, so it's not processed right away.
We have one screen that shows you, you know, how many you've requested. and the status of them, but the screen that the staff uses is attached to the actual work case. So, you know, they will only see the one you fax in. I can't speak to why, you know, it might take them longer to get to your claim unless you had a specific example. You know, you could email the help desk and we could look and see what happened, yeah. You know, to make sure everybody knows, you know, what to do. But yeah, there should be nothing kind of indicating to them that they need to wait because you're about to fax in something. There's nothing in their system that would make them think they need to wait.
Yeah, and it's hard to explain because you guys can't see what we see in the portal. And so I think what I'll do is when I see an example of one where it shows that there's been two fax cover sheets, I'll just send it to you so you know what it is I'm talking about. I'll just send it to the help desk so you can see.
Well, like I said, the technician only sees the one you actually fax in.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're waiting. You know, there's no way for them to know that you are about to send another one or that you requested one and only sent, you know, you requested two and only sent one. There's no way they can see that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's nothing, right? There's nothing to attach if you haven't faxed it in.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you're right. It is a placeholder and you can definitely see. I mean, you could go in there and just request all the fax cover sheets you wanted, but as long as you get the one over with the evidence, we're good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eugenia. Thank you, Katie. We have Colleen Hart who has a question. Colleen, you are a presenter if you want to activate your video and audio to ask a question.
Hi. I'm fairly new. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, and I've got a fairly good handle on it, but there's a kind of a strange scenario where if we've got somebody that we've put in use and the date that the ticket's gone in use is later than like their IPE went into effect because they actually got the ticket later than we started the case. So the IPE date and they don't all line up. So the ticket start date is later, and maybe they've already started earning SGA before the ticket went into effect. Do you start counting wages before the ticket goes into effect, or does it all start just when the ticket starts?
Hi, Colleen. It's Raquel. We start looking for wages. We look at two dates. We look at when the beneficiary becomes disabled, and we look at the date that the VR enter date. We're looking for the latter of the two dates. So whichever one happens second, that's when we start looking for SGA, for earnings.
When you say the VR enter date, that's the date that we put it in use?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the in-use date. Okay, good. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. And because we can't actually assign the ticket until the ticket is mailed out. And that's what's happened in a few cases is we've started the case maybe in 2013, but the ticket wasn't mailed until 2015. So the earliest we could put it in use was 2015, but they started earning wages in 2014. You don't count those wages in 2014.
No, okay. No, we don't.
That's what I thought. Okay, no. Cool. Thank you.
The technician, when they get your claim, they're looking at what you're entering as the actual VR enter date. They're gotcha. Looking at that date, and then they're going into SSA's records to look to see when the beneficiary became disabled. And they're using the later of those two dates.
The later of the two dates.
Yes. Because because the beneficiary could have started, came into the VR in 2020, but SSA says we didn't say this person was disabled until 2021. Gotcha. That's the date we use, 2021.
I gotcha. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Raquel. We'll go to the chat now with Imani.
Yes, so we have one question from Shelley. This is in regards to the handbook. She wants to know, has the handbook been revised since 2020?
Good afternoon, Shelley. This is Shade. I'd have to check. But the thing is, we know we have updates. So we just want to make sure that you have everything that has happened, because we've had blasts in between that from since 2020. And whenever we also send out a blast, we have to update that handbook and make sure that it is in the handbook. So any blast that you got, you know, in 2021 has to be in the handbook, or any variation or any change. We must update it to the handbook. Currently, Katie and I are working on several things that have not been completely updated, but anything that went out in the blast prior to this year and the end of last year, yes, it should be in the handbook. We're just working on certain things right now that will not be available until we've come to some decisions, but blasts and things like that have been done, and we want to make sure that you have the most current information.
I was just going to jump in, Shada. The last book that we sent out was dated 2020. That is the last official handbook we have sent out.
Okay, I'm
so
just
if you have that copy, you have the most current copy.
Glass. Or for the people who said they're brand new and don't really know anything about what's happening, that they have a copy as well. So.
And the provider handbook is also on the Ticket to Work website as well. So you can access the most current copy there. We have that stored on the website. But if you need a copy, you can always reach out to the help desk.
In addition, in 2020, we did a national call where we did a best practices for those of you who are new and need assistance with getting claims out. So we also had a training via a national call in 2020. So we can also give you the slides for those as well.
Next question in the chat is from Warren. If the 9 out of 12 months are not consecutive, do we still require documentation that the break in SGA is due to seasonal work?
Hi, Warren. It has to be consecutive. So it has to be 9 out of the 12 months. We can't control when the beneficiary is earning the earnings, if that makes sense. So if it's 9 out of 15 months due to when they're earning that money, then that claim will get denied. But that's considered a 320 denial, meaning that the beneficiary has earned 9 months of earnings, has made 9 months of earnings, but it's not within a 12-month period.
All righty, Monty, do we have any more questions in the chat?
We have one more question from Carla. How do we access blasts that were sent before we started? Are they collected somewhere?
This is Katie. I want to give a shout out to maybe a portion of the website that not everyone is aware of. We can send that out in a blast if that would help as well, because I'm probably going to give you the wrong link over the phone. But if you go to the Ticket to Work website, there is a section that where we store, and anybody else on TPM who can tell me, you know, the staff where it is. But we actually have an archive, an events archive, and that has the notes and slides, if we had any, from any call we've ever had. Most of the information that we give out is on these quarterly calls. So I encourage you to go there to the events archive. We post the recap there. We also actually have a transcript that you can read through or listen to. So I do encourage you, if you're new, and you know, I would say take a chunk of time, don't listen to it all at once, but you know, that's a good place, that events archive, and there's a VR section on the website. So I would reach you to the Ticket to Work website and kind of start there. And like Raquel said, you have a lot of partners who can probably give you, you know, more information on the way they use the policies. You know, but you can, if you want to hear the directions SSA has given, that would be the best way to get it. Because if we have sent a blast out, we talk about it and we talk through it on our call, our quarterly calls. We always read through them.
Thank you, Katie.
And I think if you look in the chat, everyone, Keitra did post where the archives are. And yeah, and we keep those up to date. That's a good place to go.
Thank you. Imani, do we have any other questions in the chat?
Yep, another one from Jill. How can I get signed up for Blast?
Hey Jill, it's Raquel. You're signed up. When Shada says Blast, she means the emails that come from, I think it says Ticket to Work subscription. We call it the Gov delivery. So like the email you received yesterday reminding you of today's meeting, I'll be on call. That's a blast. That's just the internal word that we use for emails that we send out, announcements that we send out to the VRs.
And we have one more in the chat from Amanda. What if they have 9 months within 12 months, but they are not consecutive? Would that be denied as well?
Hi, Amanda. It's Raquel. No, that 9 out of 12 months is what we're looking for. So, for example, if you're saying January, February, they have earnings at or above SGA, maybe March, the next 3 months they don't, or you skip a month here or there, as long as we can count 9 out of 12 before we reach, once we hit that year mark, we've count 9 months of having the earnings, then that's what we mean when we say 9 out of 12 months. It does not have to be January through September. You're welcome.
And that information is also in the PowerPoint that Raquel will send you. So we show you on that PowerPoint how you can have 9 out of 10, 9 out of 11, or 9 out of 12, or 9 consecutive months. So it's all in that training and that PowerPoint.
Thank you, Shada. We have two on the phones that have questions. We have an Eric Schmidt. Eric, you are a presenter if you want to turn on your audio and video and ask your question.
Hello. This may be a take it back to Rob question. It's an advocacy question, actually. Noticed recently we had a little uptick in denials, and I've attributed them to some very suspect data from SWIS, the state wage interchange system for wages from other states. I basically found a number of ways that we're getting incorrect data, and they look like they would be, you know, sufficient SGA wages, and then they turn out to either be duplications or errors. So I guess my question is, would SSA consider advocating for the states regarding the issues with SWIS? Because again, that's coming from a federal partner agency, and it's causing us to submit claims that turn out to be incorrect and are wasting, you know, our time, wasting your time. I reported it to SWIS, and SWIS basically told us, you know, thanks for letting us know. Yes, you're correct. There's a lot of problems, and there's nothing we can do about it. And so I'm just wondering if again, because a SWIS is a permissible purpose of SWIS is to use it for cost reimbursement, whether or not Social Security would consider advocating that SWIS be responsible for the validity of the data they're sending, because again, it's causing substantial errors in terms of our cost reimbursement and probably other things as well.
Hi, Eric, it's Raquel. You already know what I'm going to ask. Can you shoot me, Rob, Katie, an email?
Sure. Yep. Please. Yeah, I got about 6 different ways that they're messing it up. and it's actually mostly coming from other states that then submitted to the Swiss Clearinghouse, and then the Swiss Clearinghouse basically just passes it along. I can share with you how it's happening, but I can definitely tell you it's responsible for a number of our recent denials, and I don't see a solution unless we can get them to really give us better data.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm sure Rob and Katie would want to look into.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. We have one more individual with a question on the phone. Eugenia Cox, you are a presenter. If you want to share your audio and video and ask your question.
One quick question. Colleen's question kind of prompted one that I've had for a very long time. The ticket mail date isn't necessarily the date they became eligible for benefits. And I see the difference when I look at the state verification exchange system. You guys use the actual date of eligibility, right? Not necessarily the ticket date when you're looking at paying the cost claims.
Right. We use their eligibility, the beneficiary eligibility date. Correct.
Okay. Okay, we don't go. You don't go by the necessarily the ticket mail date.
No, we're going to the technicians and analysts are going to the claim, and we're looking at what the VR has entered as the VR entry date. So what you have submitted as the VR entry date, and then we're going to SSA system to see when they are actually considered disabled, and that is what we're using.
Oh, so you use the entitlement date or the
entitlement date? Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Oh, that's cool. That's like 6 months.
Right. Okay. Right.
Oh, cool. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to make sure I chimed in, but it's still really important, right, that you try to assign the ticket so that they can get medical CDR protection.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't get lost, that you were like, oh, I don't need to bother trying to assign the tickets.
No,
paid anyway. No. Please.
Yeah, we make sure that all the tickets are assigned, and if not, we try to get them back. We usually don't find out that they're with somebody else until they go into plan because, there's so many people that come through VR, but we do make sure that we get the ticket back or we work cooperatively with another state VR agency. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugenia. This time I'll turn it back over to Keitra.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you everyone for joining today's call. I would just like to say on behalf of the ticket program manager, I'd like to thank you again, Katie and Raquel, for your updates and everyone for attending today's call and making it informative and interactive. There may be some questions that are in the chat that we have not quite covered, but we certainly will get back to you in the days coming after this call to respond to those questions. Looking ahead, our next All-VR call will be on Tuesday, July the 11th at 1 p.m. Thank you for attending and have a good rest of your day. This All-VR call has now been concluded. Take care.